it all.
Yeah, that was Provincial Archive from their latest CD, It's All Shake and Wonder. And speaking of It's All Shake and Wonder, I've got Eric, Rumble in the studio from Night Shift. That's a compliment, by the way, because this is a freaking awesome CD. And when I was talking to the band, they said It's All Shake and Wonder is about the most amazing things that happen to us and shake us up. So Night Shift is all about that. So can you, just for people who don't know, if you've been living under a rock, what is Night Shift and where did it come from? How did it all come to be?
Sure. So I've been calling Night Shift Kitchener's Communal Nocturnal Adventure Festival, pardon me, this year.
Yeah.
Last year we were referring to it as sort of a Nuit Blanche style event, and really the idea sprung from that at one point. I was editing a magazine called Alternatives Journal.
Right.
At that point in time, we had produced, and we produced themed issues as part of Alternatives Journal. We had been working on a night-themed issue last summer for release in the fall. And somewhere in the space of the conversation about, well, what do we do as a promotional event for that particular issue of the magazine, I landed on this idea that there is no Nuit Blanche style event in Kitchener, and there's 500,000 people here. There's all of this fabulous dynamic creativity happening, all this great public space.
And that's true.
And I'd been living in Kitchener. I'd lived in the area a couple times before, but I'd been living in Kitchener, downtown Kitchener, for about a year and a half at that point. I'd moved here for this job, and I really, for me, it was just a recognition of a huge amount of potential to put on an event like that. And what started as a hypothesis of how do we do something like this turned pretty quickly into, okay, how are we going to do this?
yeah, really the logistics behind it all.
That's right. And I mean, it really started from a bunch of conversations. I went to a few business owners downtown, the cultural institutions such as the KWAG and Center in the Square, and just basically got in front of people and started talking about this idea of taking a bunch of public and private space and trying to figure out ways to remix it for the space of one evening. And for me, that was a really powerful idea coming from working with an environmental magazine. So many of us live in cities, and the idea that you can reimagine the built environment around you with just creativity and effort, and that's kind of all it takes to look at something differently. I really liked that notion, and I really liked the idea that, for me, the idea that downtown Kitchener is this dangerous place or a dead space just didn't ring true at all.
Nah.
And that was a lot of the motivation for wanting to create a night that was really the antithesis to that idea.
You know what? My pal sitting behind you right now, we were both there last year, and it was a riot. It was so much fun. There were so many people downtown. And it was such an amazing energy. So what are some of the highlights, or what are some of the differences between this year's and last year's events?
So we last year we occupied like about a 12-block space that runs kind of between the KW Art Gallery and City Hall. And we had programming that was fitting into parquets, laneways, a couple streets, and then small businesses and larger institutions. We're essentially taking over the same landscape this year, but the programming is twice as dense as last year. We had 20 attractions on the map last year. We're pushing 40 this year. and because, I mean, the festival was created in the space of about 5 months from concept to delivery last year, with the benefit of having a full year of ramp up around that, we've been able to draw in some pieces of programming with a much bigger footprint, some more elaborate pieces of programming. And I mean, I think the variety has increased a lot as well. I mean, there's some theatrical performance, there's musical performance, there are installations in a range of different spaces. There's a lot of participatory stuff from sort of DIY crafting to outdoor video games.
Yeah, that's fun.
To you know, thing and outdoor analog games too. You know, I mean, I'm always really stunned at how captivating oversized Jenga is for people, in that it's just a pile of wood, and it immediately turns a streetscape into a gaming space. Right?
Yeah,
it's that simple. But I would say the piece of programming that I'm most excited for this year really knits together a whole bunch of the different programming pieces we've got spread around that same map. And I should mention too that you can access that map and read through details about all the different contributing artists and their attractions at nightshiftwr.ca. /2014 has listings for all 37
events.
Programming sites
there's
at the moment.
There's a grid, there's a list. You could click on all of everything to see what's going on. So, go ahead.
So the piece of programming I'm really excited about is there's a local filmmaking collective called 12 Angry Filmmakers.
Yes, Duncan and the Boys.
So Duncan and the Boys. And I sort of had a kernel of an idea that was intended to pull back the veil a little bit on local film production, where we wanted to look at reverse engineering a few pieces of scenery or components of a few local films. And eventually I got in front of Duncan to talk about this idea, and Duncan almost immediately stepped it up to, well, what if we make a film? What if we write a script and develop a film that's set within Night Shift? So Duncan and a handful of his collaborators have now they've created this production where they're going to be based out of the Walper Hotel. They're going to be shooting all day long, mostly interior scenes there. But they've actually written a script that uses Night Shift as a backdrop and creates a fictional character within the production of Night Shift that. Without giving it away, I mean, he has an altercation with another person who's there, and then sort of has to spend the evening running around through the festival and dealing with the fallout of that altercation. So Duncan and crew, they've actually got two separate film crews that are going to be interrupting a number of pieces of programming and kind of roaming the festival landscape, collecting scenery for a short film, which they're also going to be screening a very rough cut of towards the end of the night in the Crystal Ballroom at the Walper Hotel.
That's amazing. So that's a new one.
That's a new one.
There's something else too. The Empty Shoes Project.
Yeah.
Do you still need shoes for this?
It's amazing. So Julie Winan, her daughter was killed by a drunk driver a few years ago, and in the last year or so, I believe she encountered an old pair of her daughter's shoes in a closet and was just. She was really struck by how much of her daughter's personality was contained in these shoes. And so and at the same time, in the aftermath of her daughter's death, I mean, she's become an activist around what she sees as quite dismal prosecution, pardon me, of impaired drivers.
Yes.
So she's essentially developed this concept of the Empty Shoes Project as a way of trying to draw attention to that cause. And so what she's done is she's at this point collected more than 2,200 pairs of shoes, which is the number of people that are killed by impaired drivers every year. I last spoke to her about 2 weeks ago, and she had more than enough shoes.
Okay.
I'm not sure when it is. I believe she's actually in Ottawa sometime this week, and she's staging an installation there where what she's doing is she's just setting up the shoes in a big line or in a pile, and she'll be doing the same thing at Night Shift.
Mm-hmm. Where? At the
Gal Garden and Millennium Garden, sort of between Frederick and Queen Streets, just north of Weber, right by the new library.
A couple stone
courtyards outdoors there. And so that whole property is going to be is going to have lines of shoes and a big pile of them in the middle of them. And she's also she's had a number of people who are in the same predicament where they've lost a loved one to an impaired driver. And she's got a whole bunch of decorated pairs of shoes with stories about the people that once wore them. So she'll have those on display. And you know, I mean, that proposal, that was one of the proposals we got for a piece of programming at Night Shift, and I had a committee of six other people, and I mean, we all of us were so struck by the power of that really simple image, and I'm so pleased that we managed to find a space that feels really appropriate for it, and that we've been able to give her a venue to try and draw some attention to her cause. I mean, I also really like the idea that it changes the emotional range of programming at Night Shift. You know, there's a lot of things that are simple and fun.
And there's some things that are, well, I still think about the guy with the chalkboard.
That's right.
In Hall's Lane, he had a gigantic chalkboard.
Yeah.
His Joyce was with me. And he said, okay, I think I had leukemia.
Yep.
So I want you to write in the chalkboard everything that means something to you in your life. And that chalkboard was full.
Yeah.
And all over the sidewalk. Amazing. That
Absolutely.
Was an astounding event last year. The other one was the cards.
Mm-hmm.
The business cards in the, where, by the parking, or the Gowdy's Lane.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I love that project too. Both of those are great, but especially the Gowdy's Lane piece, largely because, like, quite honestly, I didn't really understand what it was for a lot of the time leading up to the festival. I knew that Chris and Kim were collecting as many business cards as they were, and I sort of knew, you know, I had a basic sense of the form that they were creating, but I had no idea how dramatically they would be changing the atmosphere of that alleyway.
That was big time.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, that's a real great example on a sort of microcosm level of what I hope the festival does, in that it's, you know, anybody who was really touched by that space and the way that it was recreated for Night Shift last year will always associate that memory with that space. And
that's right.
It becomes a different space than, you know, just where the bylaw officers park where maybe you cut through to get from Queen to Ontario quicker.
Don't go down that alleyway by the dumpsters, you know. But now you look at it and it's like, I remember those business cards hanging up, but it was so beautiful. I mean, we were taking pictures. It was great.
Well, and it was great in that it also, I mean, they sourced all those business cards from different people throughout the community, so it became this
Everybody
thing
was
where...
looking for their business card.
That's
right. Here is it.
That's right.
So it's so neat.
Yeah.
It's one thing about Night Shift, it's so interactive. The other thing is you have Weird Canada with you again this year,
mm-hmm.
and a variety of musical performances. And one of them, I think, one of these artists we're going to be playing in a few minutes. Are there any... It says on your website there's surprises. Are there still more surprises?
I've got one more surprise
up my
sleeve at this point. We revealed five of them last week, and then I've got one more that's coming together, which I should be releasing this weekend. Actually, is when that's
so look on Twitter, look on Facebook, look
on Twitter
the Night Shift,
and Facebook.
Awesome. There's something else I wanted to ask you about. Is this all? Like, do you have stuff for all ages, like for kids and stuff like that?
Absolutely, yeah. I think probably the best opportunity for that, we're trying to create some programming that starts to take place a little bit earlier this year. One of the pieces of programming we've brought back from last year, because it sort of worked last year, but I see a lot more potential in the idea, is creating a jack-o'-lantern flash mob in Civic Center Park across the street from the K-Wagon Center and the Square Complex.
Yeah.
We're going to have people in that park who are collecting jack-o'-lanterns from 4 p.m. onward that afternoon. We're trying to encourage people to, it's the day after Halloween, so to bring their jack-o'-lanterns to that space as a drop-off point, essentially, for them. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that we can fill that park with as many jack-o'-lanterns as possible. My aim is to get at least 100 in there. We also have a jack-o'-lantern carving event going on next Wednesday evening at sort of a pop-up headquarters space that for Night Shift that I'm working out of downtown at 157 King Street,
which is at King and Gockel, isn't it?
It's right beside Bud's. It's a little bit down from Gockel.
But that
jack-o'-lantern piece is certainly something that we would love if families came out and contributed to that and experienced that. At the same time, up in the same area at Center in the Square, there's another group which is coming back to bring another performance to the programming landscape this year. It's a theater company out of Hamilton called Frog in Hand.
Yes, I see all these theater companies involved too.
Yeah.
So what are there's Empty Space, there's Neruda's doing Day of the Dead.
Neruda's doing Day of the Dead, yeah.
I don't know what is Empty Space doing?
So Space is one of the surprises that I revealed this past week. Well, it's out there now. It's Empty Space and John McDonald Architect. that are, they're collaborating on, I mean, this is a hard one to describe. There are two covered patio areas right out front of City Hall. One of them is in front of Carbon Computing. The other one is in front of Williams Cafe.
I know. Yep.
So what they're doing is they're taking over those two spaces with essentially a pop-up theater that's meant to engage night shift explorers and involve them in the performance itself. The way that they're doing that is they've got essentially a projection screen and a live feed of what's happening in one theater space projected over to the other theater space in the other portico.
Oh, man.
So they're going to be the Empty Space crew will have some actors there that are working on animating that space, working on engaging people in it. We're probably going to have a few different visitors from different pieces of programming pop over to that space and sort of interrupt it.
Yeah, that's
a few
great
times. But the intention is that underneath each portico, you've got something happening that the other one can see and vice versa, and that there's some interplay between the two spaces there as well.
Yeah. This is great, Eric.
That's a great example of one of the really heavy footprint, what much more elaborate ideas that sort of came to us that we had the capacity and time to try to make happen this year in a way that we didn't quite last year. So.
And there's things going on at the Walper too. Something to do with balloons. Is that right?
Well, the Walper piece is where the Killing Art, the 12 Angry Filmmakers piece is based out of.
So
they'll have some interactive stuff there that they've brought in a special effects house called Indie Effects.
They're
going to be bringing like some prosthetics and a makeup artist. And so there'll be some stuff you can look at there. They're also going to be setting up essentially a live editing suite in that space. So you'll be able to go and just, you know, spend a few minutes hanging out and watching them try and put together this film that the two crews are actively out in the landscape shooting.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
There's also, is the Duke Street Food Block open again?
Yes. Yep.
Everybody's Cheeses Murphy and all that along there. Is going to be open. Is the am I right? Is the Vidyard?
Yeah,
is there a rooftop thing?
Yeah,
happening?
So Vidyard is planning to host Nerd Night KW does rock band events. They also do a bunch of other great programming downtown, but specifically one of their features is they have this. They stage rock band nights where they've actually got instruments that they've modified to play the game. So you're playing like a real bass and a real guitar and stuff, but it's
groovy.
Set up to be interacting with the game. So
yeah.
Charlotte Armstrong and I have been talking about that idea for a while of how great would it be to be able to let people get up in a space overlooking the city and
just,
you know, do their best Beatles ripoff, basically.
Exactly. Much fun. Mm-hmm. Is there a favorite part for you? I know that Janice Lee has a Poetry Slam thing happening too at KWAG. Yep. That's the other thing, the Poetry Slam Decathlon.
Yep.
Weird Canada has a live music showcase, and you were talking to me about an artist at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Why do you like her so much?
I love the lineup of artists that Weird Canada's put together this year. They did a really great music showcase last year as well. This year Marie LeBlanc Flanagan especially has been instrumental in putting together this lineup of four really amazing, really powerful women performers.
Yes.
And they're kind of a really nice range. I mean, there's Isla Craig is sort of a bit more of like a soul R&B artist. Although that's not what you would think she is the first moment that you see her at all. Petra Glint, I'm not even sure how to describe Petra. I would recommend you
just take a listen to her. Yeah,
Google her videos and look for this woman. She has this fabulous live presence and just, you know, really great danceable music. Mo Clark, I've never seen before, but she's a spoken word artist, a Métis spoken word artist. Lito Pimienta is the one that I'm most excited about. I've seen Lito Pimienta a few times in the last year or so. She's a Colombian artist who's living in Toronto now. She is outspoken and vibrant and a little bit crazy, I think.
Oh, good.
But in the best possible way. Every time I've seen her, she's done things where she's trying to push people's buttons, and she's also just a really exciting performer to watch. And she's got an incredible voice and some pretty amazing, just sort of spoken word chops, I guess, herself. She's quite a provocative songwriter. And she makes great music.
Well, we're going to listen to her. And I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to me, because I know you're really busy with everything that's going on. And for people that want to know everything more about Night Shift, there is Facebook.com, Night Shift WR. There's Twitter, Night Shift WR, and the actual website itself, nightshiftwr.ca, is it?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. And last year, Manimal Mano was there with DJ Jeffy Jeff.
Yeah.
And the Adventures of DJ Jeffy Jeff, and they had a tent set up, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So Sound FM was a part of Night Shift last year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here is Lito Pimienta on Coral FM. Ooh, thanks, Eric.
Tú tienes la capacidad. Tú. De hacerme reír, de hacerme llorar de felicidad. Y yo ahora estoy aquí. Y tú eres todo y más. Y yo soy feliz aquí. Supiste esperar. Tú tienes la capacidad. Puedes transcribir, puedes descifrar, sabes que soy más. Pues ya.
Children of the Night. That was for Eric Rummel for Night Shift.